What time's our limo coming?
Four.
Full.
Do we have a limo?
It's, yeah.
Escalator.
Didn't get an invite. Wow.
Now he's on the limo.
Yeah. All right, Jamie.
That's fine.
Oh, shit,
that's fine. Four.
That's tight.
Billy's like 6'4".
So, all right, let's run it, man, and let's go live.
I want to start with a conversation. You guys are going to the Nats game after this. I want to know how many runs you think we're going to be up in the ninth inning that we'll blow.
Four.
It's going to be four. 6-2.
6-2. Brad Lard will be coming in.
And we won't survive.
And we won't survive.
Going for the free drinks and food.
Well, let me ask one thing. Who's to blame? Who's to blame? The owner not hired, not giving the money out.
Beep, beep,
okay. Yeah. General manager for not bringing somebody in that could actually close a game. No. You know?
The owner needs to spend some money to get a couple relievers.
Yeah, we did not have a $1 million contract.
Right.
Man.
I mean, it's relievers don't cost that much money.
Can you imagine those guys walking the dugout after the game and they've blown the second lead in a row?
Yeah, I go in there.
And they walk in the dugout or in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I say we should bring up C-May Jr. and Yarlin Susana. I mean, young guys, at least they throw 100. I mean, right, I can't do any worse, right?
So let's switch over to the real estate market, because that is also and a little bit of a freak.
Look at how you talk. You guys are talking baseball, and I'm like...
Morgan, we're switching.
Okay,
all
right.
We're switching real estate.
Okay, cool.
All right, we're going through our seasonality changes, right? We're hitting July. And the market is changing. Where there was a fight at the bat rack for all these listings, now 10% of the homes go under contract in the last 2 weeks, okay? Which means it's turning into a big buyer's market and a big opportunity for some, problem for others. So I want to talk about, I mean, it's not our first rodeo, not our first July. Seasonally,
every feel this way.
Every week, every year it happens. Well, what happens is, so everybody's gone to the beach. They just got out of school. We're in an affluent area. A lot of people are taking the kids out, and everything quiets down for a couple of weeks.
Must now, be fun.
here's the big, and I want to talk about it, because this is really the opportunity. This is the time for people to get out. If you're going to buy a house, you buy it right now.
Yeah.
If you're going to move up, you're going to move up right now, right? So... let's give just one example. So you've got a buyer. He goes out and he can buy a house off market because the sellers are kind of scared, right?
Sure.
They buy the house off market. And in my opinion, based on my models, they got a $250,000 discount when they bought that house. I was shocked they were going to get it for that price. So now it comes time to sell their other house. It's, you know, it's a soft market. You're going to take a little hit.
Yeah.
But where you may take a $50,000 hit on the sale, you're going to have a $250,000 gain on the buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars benefit to selling in a market that everybody else is saying is a bad market.
Right.
And really, depends on who you are, it could be a great market. It could be an opportunity market. So I want to talk about, as we're going through, Billy, you do a lot of the new homes, but I want you guys to talk too. You got buyers and sellers out there every day.
Well, just touching on what you just said, when you have a buy and sell, you know, obviously there's a good time to buy, there's a good time to sell. So sometimes they don't line up equally. Where if it's so hot and there's so many buyers and fighting like hell over a certain home, then of course you're gonna have to pay the premium if you're
right.
gonna buy.
Right.
And you're gonna get the premium for your home. But then, like you just said, on the other hand, you know, if you get a great deal on the buy, and then you just have to expect that there might not be that same premium coming up. So
let's take a 10%. Let's say you take a 10% premium when you buy in a really good market. On a $1.5 million home, you're going to pay an extra $100,000, $150,000.
Yeah.
If you have to sell it, right, and you're selling a home, let's say it's a... you're only going to get 10% of that house. So maybe that's $80,000 you'll make or you'll get, but you're really paying an extra $150,000. So when the market is really hot, that's really not the time to move up.
Yeah.
The time right now, when the bigger houses have bigger discounts and the smaller houses, that's the time we make a couple hundred thousand bucks.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what's your take on it, Bill?
Oh,
thanks for joining us today.
What's up, guys?
Are you?
Yeah, I just blacked out a little bit. I'm good. What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. My take is you have to study the market, be with a professional, understand where you are, price points, and between a market segment of call it a million and 1.5 is completely different than a market segment between 2.5 and 3 million. You have to see, inside that segment, is it a seller's or a buyer's market, right? Because sometimes overall it might be a seller's market, but inside of 2.5 to 3, it might be a buyer's market. Casey does a great job breaking down the luxury market, over 1 million or 1.5 or 2 million, and he breaks it down by price point. So I would say you have to study where I'm going to be a seller, where I'm going to be a buyer.
Right.
And sometimes it lines up perfectly where if I have to sell my 1.3, that market is extremely hot, and I'm looking to buy a 2.5, and that market is dull or slow. Right. So I would say you have to know where you are. And it's
right.
Extremely important to know where I'm selling, because I was talking with one of the guys in my office this week, and it's like inside of Vienna, there's 20 different markets.
Right.
Right. You have different
price range, different quadrants.
Right. You have price range, different quadrants, northwest, southwest, southeast, northeast, and they
all homes resales.
New homes, resales, under 1.25,
over 1.25. Yeah.
District. So,
down there, yeah.
When someone asks me, how's Vienna doing? Which Vienna?
Which part?
That's what we've always said. How's the market? Which market?
Right.
Which yeah.
There's 20 different markets, right? So I don't know where I was going with this thought, but I would say it's extremely imperative that you know your market, you know your comps inside your quadrant and price range, because what's happening in Northeast Vienna's sometimes completely different than Southwest.
Yeah.
That's
Well, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
We're talking about going into that transitioning market right now.
Right.
Transitioning to a big-time buyer's market. Is it easier to get a deal out of Colin and Connor, Seekus, today than it was 2 months ago when I think you had a month that you must have sold 8 houses or 9
yeah.
new homes in 1 month?
Right.
So that was hot. You're not going to make many concessions when you're in that market. Now that markets are, homes are sitting a little bit, mm-hmm. Is it easier to get some concessions from a builder?
So I would say yes and no. Yes for certain homes that we have. No for others that we have. It depends on what stage of construction we're in, where that home is located, what we're expecting for the home. But I would say generally, yes, it's easier to be a buyer now if you're looking to buy a new home. If you're looking to buy a new home on a premium lot in a premium school district with a premium home at a premium price point, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And it's hard to find. Right. So that's where...
I didn't mean to get too granular there.
No. You're right on it.
Yeah.
Because the good stuff sells. If right. you guys are looking with buyers,
yeah.
they're just looking for something they like. Mm-hmm. It's got to have the right lot. It's got to be the right house. It's got to have the right flow. It's got to be the right house. Those houses... fly off the market.
They
right?
do at a huge premium. And I think that it's important to note like the scarcity there. And sometimes, there are a lot of people coming in from all over the place. And obviously, we're born and raised in Vienna. We know Vienna. And we know that, what we see is we're like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like someone else might be like, well, it's surrounded by, smaller homes. It's surrounded, there's always a give and take, right? Mm. So, like, there's a scarcity with all of these huge half-acre lots. But
right.
you're not going to find that on one of the side streets. Like, they're very hard to find. And if you do find it, you're in a different school district. You're going to be paying the huge premium for it. Obviously, so
would you say the good lot? I'm not even want to talk about the perfect lot, because the perfect lot you can't afford.
Find. Yeah,
it's too hard to find and you just can't find it. But a good lot, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say today is the chance of finding a good lot? Do you get those every day?
We don't get those every day. I mean, we get a lot of lot calls. A good lot, right? A B lot or a B plus lot, is still hard to find.
Right,
they're not easy to find. Right, and an A lot, something that is
checks like 8 or 9 out of 10 boxes is extremely hard to find. And you're going to pay a big premium, sometimes $100,000, $200,000, $300,000.
Right.
As crazy as it sounds, that's what premium lots are selling.
Buyers are going to fight for it.
And yeah, and then on the back end,
you're still going to make that back. I mean, yes, you're going to have people kicking down the door because you've got this big, beautiful house in the right school district, the right street, in the right neighborhood, in the right lot.
So it's hard to find, right? And a lot of people that come from out of town, that come from New Jersey or come from California. Well, where I'm coming from, they're all half-acre lots, and they all were built.
Welcome to Nam.
They don't know.
That doesn't
matter. Like, annoyed. It's like traffic or this. And that's what's hard, where it's of course, like if you want downtown Vienna, you want Vienna Elementary, there's a lot of give and take with that because you're either going to be on one of the busier roads, which, you know, there is a prestige with some over others that
right.
have more traffic.
Right.
And on the side roads, you know, you are kind of on top of each other, and that's what you have to get with a smaller lot. Your neighbor's right next to you, but that's what people want. In order to be that much closer to town, in order to be Vienna Elementary, you get out a little further. You can go down Lawyers, be Louise Archer, and of course, you might find different lots, but it's just a give and take.
It has a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a house that's the right size, the right year, you have models.
Yep.
So Chatham model or whatever.
Chanticleer is
Chanticleer. A Chanticleer model.
What'd you call it?
I don't know.
Shadow.
It's a shadow model. Remember, I'm thick. So you have a six and bricks, you have a house.
Yeah.
It's on one lot, not a premium lot, bad school district. You have the exact same house built on a good lot, good school district. What's the difference in pricing that those will pay?
200 to 300 thousand.
I think it's more 300 to 400 thousand more for the
and they're just talking about elementary.
Elementary.
But they're talking about a smaller home.
Yeah.
At that price point, yes, it's 200 to 300. Sometimes maybe more.
Yeah.
On a bigger home, like an Aiden or a Belmont, yeah. It's 300, 400, 500 thousand.
Right.
Difference.
Yeah.
So it depends on the size of the home, but yeah, 300 at least two. You know, maybe over three.
But the good houses, you pay a premium and they sell. And here's the thing. There's plenty of money out there. Everybody has money. There's a lot of money out there. They want the premium stuff. Mm-hmm. They want to get the good stuff. So, yes, if you had a bad lot or a good lot and one is 2.3 and one is 2.7, what sells the easiest? 2.7, right?
Right.
That's you find it's easier to sell the really good stuff for higher prices than the ones in a questionable school.
Because people then all of a sudden they, you know, this is their budget, this is what they're looking for, and then they realize, well, actually, you know, why am I moving if I'm just gonna be upset with this or I have to give up this, and you know, so the budget starts stretching in order to get what they want.
Yeah.
Well, so the scarcity is finding those, it's not the money. You've got buyers out there with money. The scarcity is the lot, the home, I mean,
right.
Premium.
I mean, they're hard to come by. And when they come, I mean, everyone's going to fight like hell over them. That's why these off-market opportunities are gold, because it's not exposed to everyone. I mean, as soon as that was exposed to everyone, it would be, again, a fight at the bat rack for it.
But I'm going to tell you one thing, and this is, mark my words, I might not be around to see this, but the schools right now, you can get into a school district at a good, real solid discount, big discount. You are one principal away from turning a 4 into a 7 or an 8. Something to a 5, right? So I'm telling you that you go in there and they're priced because the school district was doing good. They got a good principal. The school district went up. The ratings went up. Now those homes are a deal. Anything in Southwest is Cunningham or Marshall Road are way undervalued, way underpriced, and are the deal.
Is it a 10? No. But space, feature, function, lot, updates.
Right.
Everything about your life is good there, right? So I can't find a 10 out of 10 for the money that I have.
Yeah.
But I found an 8 or a 9 out of 10. So you have to compromise.
Where's that 8?
It's a 5.
Knowing why it's a 5 as well. And then also understanding that
That was a 6 or a 7 or an 8 a few years ago. A few years from now, when my son is going into elementary, it could be an 8 or...
And we're like, and the reason we know this is because we have a meeting with We're like, so to all minors out there, you should buy an actual rope.
And buy
stairs It's going to be a 10. They're going to be like, I wonder how that happened.
I'll buy, yeah. I'll buy your local school board meeting. You're also going to...
I'm tired of having that be... Like, it is.
But that's the point.
You're selling these beautiful homes and great homes, and it's being brought down by something. Like, we're going to change that. Like, we got to figure out what the problem is and fix it.
Right.
We cannot have a school in Vienna where all these beautiful new homes are being built that has a low score. Like, that's just not going to cut it. So.
And you pay taxes like we pay in Vienna. You deserve good schools.
We've had at least a really cool fool.
They're like school are poor. We're like, oh, we do like swimming. All right, look,
can you get the girl in a white stamp?
Don't ask currently. Oh, is it? Well, I do like swimming.
Yeah, Goldie is yeah.
Everybody has signs, you know. What is it? The pool costs too much.
Same like that.
And Goldie's there like, oh, I like swimming.
That's the one.
Yeah, I'm thinking up and down.
Goldie here is party playing. He's like, he's up by Sam. Good
time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Vienna Woodshop.
So, all right. Now is the time to get into that.
It was good. Kind of flat pool, good international.
Yeah, and also I would say just one more thing on that. We have a lot of people that ask to be in certain school districts, and they need to understand that what that school district entails, what comes with it, right? So if I'm asking for a Vienna Elementary, you have to understand that is downtown Vienna.
Yeah.
Right? And downtown Vienna was built in the 60s. It's downtown, which means that you have more traffic through traffic there. And so when you're looking for a lot there, you can't say you want to be in downtown Vienna but not have traffic.
Or like,
right? Or not.
Neighbors riding, smoking a cig on a tractor.
Or,
downtown Vienna.
Yeah. Or, it was built in the 60s. It was built in the 60s, right? So you have those homes that are being torn down.
Well, yeah.
You just have to understand that that's what
it comes with the town.
And you're going to be living amongst, like, when I moved in 20 years ago, none of those homes were all new homes.
Right.
And now, like, all the homes around me are all new homes, including a $3.5 million.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a good thing to ask. I mean, does the construction bother you? Because since you've been there, I mean, you've seen a lot of houses go up right around you, including one right next door right now.
Right. Totally ignore it.
Yeah.
You have no face. And I'll say this. A lot of people say, I live on Center Street.
Yeah.
A lot of people say traffic bothers you. You don't even know it.
Well, we sit in your backyard. I don't hear Pete.
Yeah. I don't
hear Pete. Eating crabs, listening to music.
He's gotten so good at ignoring it that you could just talk right to him. And
you can't hear it.
He blocks it out.
What did I just say?
Fire station sprained.
It's actually
right his ears. But yeah,
he's like, oh, beautiful morning.
What did I just say?
Yeah.
Those are my worst words I ever want to hear. What did I just say?
Well, Colby does that to me, and you know my excuse? I'm like, you know, I'm just too much like my dad. Ask my mom. It's my dad. Because my mom yells at you.
Let me go back to business real quick. How much time we got? How many minutes? Okay. I want to talk about this. We just spoke about how the real premium houses sell, okay? And everybody's got to remember, you know, this, that all these people want is something you really like, you know? They're looking for something they like. That you guys are running around with buyers, they can't find something they really like.
Yeah.
So once you find something you really like, there are two concerns. The first concern, am I paying too much for this house? You guys have done a huge job this year. I think you sold 5 houses over $2 million. And the question is always, what can we pay for this house? Right?
Like, could I?
No, I mean, it's been the spying agents. So the question is, what's it worth? And these are the only concerns a buyer has. What's it worth? And is there anything wrong with it? So this is a big deal, right? When we're competing for limited buyers, we have to be able to, and we got a home everybody's going to like, we have to be able to prove the home is worth what I say it's worth. And yes, I will say that AI does help. They take my numbers, my models, and explain it in a very...
Let me clarify real quick. Yes. Are you talking about working with buyers, or are you talking about how we can use this when selling a home?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Because I need to validate, what is the house really worth? In other words, when a buyer looks at one of my listings, you're asking 225, and I'm saying, but the premium is really 24.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all the stats. Here's everything you need to understand that.
There you go.
And here's the thing that makes it a premium. So they're looking at it going, you know, if I have to bid on this house, I can go to 2.4.
And you feel comfortable because we do the same thing. How with buyers, we have a pricing model. We know that they can bid up to a certain amount.
Right.
We give those, the buyers on the houses that we're selling, the same thing to make them feel comfortable.
It's like, our
sometimes, yeah.
That's why your buyers get the deals, because it may go on for, I think the one was 2.15. And I'm looking at my model. I'm going, you know, a premium price has 2.35.
Yeah.
And the bidding goes up to 2.3 and you guys pick it off for 2.35 because that really is the premium value mm-hmm. for that house. So you guys get the deal and everyone else loses the deal. Your buyers get the deal. They finally found the home they love. They don't want to overpay for it. So I'm telling you, the buyer reports that we send out with every buyer for our house or every listing. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, Billy, for the new homes, you validate your price every day.
Yeah.
This is what this house, people love the house and are thinking about it, but want to know, am I paying too much if I buy this house at that price? Well, our buyer reports are going to the buyer going, hey man, this is what this house is worth on a customary and a premium. And this is what makes it a premium. So, and here's the key word, it's okay to pay $2.4 million for this house. It's okay.
And I mean,
because that's what
we utilize you and Kevin, your pricing up, even our own, even if it's coming to like the top of our budget or whatnot and buying our new home, it's like going to you, okay, well, what is it really worth and what's like the premium? And then all of a sudden you're telling us that, you know, what it's actually worth is a lot more than what you could get it for. It made us immediately feel comfortable with, like, you know, maybe we will pay that much, because, you know, but it's an uneasy feeling of no one wants to be left in the dark.
See, here's the thing. That house was so undervalued. That's something wrong. What's wrong with this house? And we looked at it. They started at 2.5 or something.
Again.
Way over where it should be. Let's say it's 2.1. And if you put it on at 2 million, you might get 2.2. Instead, they put on for 2.5. It goes down like this. They end up getting under 2 million. You guys pick it off for a great price. And what was wrong with it? They overpriced.
But that's just what's so important being a buyer, because even being in buyer's shoes, and you too, just buying, like, we seeing houses every day, sometimes you need the analytics to support it. So even though we walk into houses every single day, I need to know the numbers to know, is this actually, like, what's it worth? And that's what we provide to buyers and sellers. So, like, there's no guessing of, I think it is. I guess you could be. It's like, no, this is.
So if you can eliminate the two concerns that's preventing them from giving us a big offer, if I could take both those concerns off your plate, now you can make me a really nice offer. And that's the way you do it. Mm-hmm. And for you guys and your buyers, can I pay $2.4 million for this house? It's like, absolutely. There's why.
And it goes the opposite way, where it's like, this house is on for 2.6.
And we're really telling you, no way.
It's actually 2.5. Here's our price model. They're like, all right, accept.
Well, that's true. You did that.
Yeah, we just did that. It was on for like 2.67, and we did the pricing. They had no offers, and it was the first weekend. We did a pricing. You and Kevin did the pricing model,
right.
Showed us. Well, actually, they should have been priced at 2.5. The premium, like 2.53, literally, we offered them, we'll give you a little bit of the premium for that, but this is as high as we're going to go. They accepted it, and it was the first weekend. The agent, I don't think, realized how to price or had the numbers, and he saw those and was like, well, that makes sense. All right.
Or the agent knew.
Yeah.
And the seller.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're giving the listing agent some ammunition to say,
exactly.
Hey, here's it. See, I told you it was only worth you.
We're the guy.
In the pudding.
We're the guy, the second guy feeling his shoe. Just a story. This is where this is how selling stuff works. My dad owned a sporting goods store, and he had an old guy. His name is Charlie. Didn't know shit. Crap. Came out for about a week. And Charlie, my dad wrote, man, that shoe fits your kid just fine. It fits the way everything. It's great. My dad did it for 30 years. He goes, Charlie,
why don't you come over and take a look at this? Charlie would waddle on over, and he'd feel it. You go, yep, that's good. Yeah. And then you go, we'll take him. So it doesn't matter what the second opinion is. The second opinion is more powerful. Billy and I do this every day. They send us kids to play football. The parents teach them all these good character traits. And they don't listen to their parents. But when we say it and we apply it to football,
yeah,
they get it. We are Taylor, second. We're Charlie. We're the second guy going, yep, it fits just fine.
And the teacher, so third.
It's always the secondary reinforcement that sells whatever it is.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. So.
And the good thing is the second reinforcement is just as we don't have a Charlie waddling from the back. We've got we've got Rain Man Kevin in the back.
Rain Man.
And Kevin, run these numbers.
Radio.
You know, like that. He's always, you know, people are like, or is Kevin like you and Kelly? I'm like, no, not one bit. But he's great with numbers behind the scenes. Wouldn't go out selling anything, but he gives us all the ammunition we need. I trust him with my life when it comes to running.
Kelly and Casey, I don't think there was any time for him to talk.
No,
that's
right.
I just waited to do his homework.
Now that I think about it, I'm like, poor mom and Kevin, they both are just like, mom's going to be in a padded room.
I went to Danny. Danny one time goes, I love Kevin. Kevin's so funny. He's the funniest guy I know. I went, my Kevin?
He's
he didn't even talk.
It's because like, you won't shut the hell up.
I know. Shut up. Kevin's like in his 20s. I'm like, Kevin, are you funny? He goes, I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? You're not funny around me.
I just suck come on. Say that too. And they're like, Kevin's so funny. I'm like, I've never even heard him talk. Like, what do you mean?
If you shut up, you're pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he and Billy get going.
We just can't shut up. That's my issue.
All right, now we're going to shut up. Show's over.
Shut up.
Cool.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for coming, Bill.
Yeah, it's tough, but it was awesome.